Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 6102 podcast. It is the podcast debut. We've been around before, but that was 4 years ago, so it's been quite the hiatus. It almost doesn't even count. I am your host, Brandon Scott. Glad to be back with you. NBA free agency, that's what I wanted to get into in the beginning. It's been the conversation for the last several days, or I guess ever since the NBA Finals ended in a dud. None of us were really entertained by it. We kind of already knew what was going to happen. What we didn't know is where LeBron was going to go in the summer. So we got to find that out over the weekend. He's headed to L.A. No surprise, really, by the time we got there, because we were getting the reports, and it seemed like that's where he was going to go. He was entertaining Philly. We thought maybe he was entertaining Cleveland, but that didn't really make much sense. And so now he's in L.A. LeBron James, an L.A. Laker, it set the internet on fire when that happened. None of us were expecting to just see it dropped on Twitter like that, especially after the decision, especially after the Sports Illustrated letter that he did 4 years ago when he went back to Cleveland. It just kind of came as a shock. You know, if you weren't on Twitter at the time, you weren't going to get it. So it was really cool how the news broke, because it was deliberately quiet in comparison to the way LeBron James had done his other free agency announcements. So that was like the talk of, what, a day when everyone was trying to figure out what would the Lakers look like ultimately with LeBron James, because, you know, if LeBron James is coming, somebody else is coming. That's been the case in every free agency move that he's made, or at least the two free agency moves that he's made prior to this one. Before he gets there, or by the time he gets there, moves are in the making. So we were looking around saying, okay, what are they going to do? They signed Lance Stephenson, JaVale McGee, Rajon Rondo. Not quite the world beaters you were expecting. If this was Rondo of maybe 6 or 7 years ago, that would be a different story. But we look up, and there's Boogie Cousins going to the Warriors. And that's probably been the shock of the free agency period. We were all expecting to be excited about what LeBron was doing. We're going to all start watching the Laker games again, because I know, except for you real Laker fans out there, none of us have really been checking for this team for the last several years. Because what for? I mean, even when Kobe was there, it wasn't really much reason to watch toward the end because they were so terrible. And they've been god awful for the past several years, for the past 6 years or so, even though they do have some entertaining young talent. You put LeBron James on that team, and it's a game changer. Like, he immediately makes a team a contender, right? Like, no matter who you are or what you got, he could go to any team in the NBA, and you put LeBron James on the team with capable NBA players, not stars, not even necessarily guys whose names you know, but capable NBA players, which most of them, for the most part, are. You don't get there without being capable. That makes them a contender immediately. I don't care what conference, what dynasty there is, LeBron James on your team makes you a contender. But this Boogie Cousins thing, I know a lot of people have had different takes on it over the last couple of days. Some people have maybe overreacted, and maybe some people have underreacted based off of his injury history, based off of Boogie Cousins's attitude, I guess you could say. He's known for being a little bit emotional and maybe just a difficult personality to deal with. People wonder, how is that going to work out? Is that going to be a good fit? And my thing is, yo, look, he's a double-double. He's a walking double-double. He's a 2010 guy, possibly more if you let him really go off. So I don't see the downside in adding a high-caliber player on the cheap. And so the conversation around the Boogie Cousins move has been, well, did he get any other offers? Did New Orleans go after their own guy strong enough? did some of these other teams that were in the free agency mix for LeBron and missed out, Houston, Philly, whoever else, did any of these other teams make him an offer? And there's some contention about that. He says that he wasn't offered. Well, at the very least, he wasn't given an offer that he thought was not insulting, given the caliber player that he is, right? Coming off that injury and at that size, given his somewhat volatility, that really shouldn't be much of a surprise that teams were not trying to invest heavily in Boogie Cousins, especially if they weren't getting LeBron James, okay? And if Kawhi Leonard is going to be a free agent next summer. Big man with attitude is not necessarily the most appealing free agency move out there, I feel like. So what does he do? This is kind of a slick move on his part. What do? They reach out to the Warriors. They holler at the Warriors and see what the Warriors are talking about. And if he's going to go, if he's going to be lowballed, why not go to the team where you can win and where you can reestablish yourself as a bona fide star in this league? And so now the Warriors, I really don't see where the risk is. I've seen stories about how this is a risky move for the Warriors, whether that be them damaging their chemistry, their team chemistry, or just adding a piece that they don't really need and may not really fit into what they do as a team. But I just don't see that. I don't see what the risk is. Boogie Cousins doesn't work out, you can put him on the bench. You're still the best team in the league. You're still the same team that won three of the last four titles and back-to-back titles. You still have Kevin friggin' Durant on your team. You still have him. When Steph Curry is healthy, he's really just as good, if not scarier. When the playoffs were going, we noticed while Kevin Durant is clearly the best player on that team, Steph Curry has the greatest impact and his influence on the team as a just as an offensive weapon and somebody to run the offense through is parallel to none. Like he is a scary cover. So when you factor that in, Boogie Cousins doesn't work out, you just put him on the bench. You release him, you let him go. It's just money. There is literally I see no risk and all reward here. It can be a bust and still really kind of work out, I feel like. So free agency has been interesting. I think that the Boogie Cousins to Golden State move, maybe it even goes without saying, maybe this is an obvious point to make, but that really stole the shine and the thunder away from the LeBron James to Lakers move. I know Lakers fans are excited about that. But yeah, man, I think that this has been quite the last several days, and free agency has been the gift that just kept on giving. I think at this point, it's just going to be about seeing how all of this plays out. I do want to say, as far as LeBron goes, we've allowed our personal opinions about LeBron to color how we view his legacy. And I think that's really honestly on us. That is our fault. Like, the joke is on us if we allow whatever personal feelings we have about LeBron, say we're Kobe fans or we're a Michael Jordan loyalist or we just don't like the way LeBron gets down, whether it be from the decision or his passive-aggressive way of dealing with teammates and perhaps sometimes the media, even though I think he's pretty good with the media, or at least good with the media that knows what the hell they're doing, right? With the exception of the 2011 NBA Finals, and this has been pointed out in other places, but with the exception of the 2011 NBA Finals, which is the only real blemish on LeBron's record, the man has only proven himself over and over again. He did it the first time in Cleveland, taking a limp 2007 Cavaliers team to the NBA Finals. They got swept by a much better Spurs team. But to me, him taking those cats to the NBA Finals was not much different than Allen Iverson taking the 76ers to the Finals in 2001. And now, of course, they won a game in L.A. and made that series look a little bit more interesting, but that was basically the same thing. And we look at Allen Iverson as a bit of a folk hero for that, for being able to pull that off. So I don't understand how LeBron, who has really one blemish on his record, does not somehow still does not get the full respect that he deserves. Now, of course, he has his contingent of fans, right? And I would consider myself to be on that side, on the side of the people who side with LeBron. But all this guy has ever done was live up to the expectations. The Jordan comparisons are silly. They are silly because it's difficult to compare eras. But honestly, man, if you don't have room in your mind to entertain LeBron versus Jordan or just LeBron being better than Jordan, while the argument is silly because they played in totally different eras, you're not really – you can't see the forest for the trees. Basically, LeBron is Jordan. He's just 6'9", 260, 70-something pounds. That's basically it. LeBron can – there's nothing that Michael Jordan did or could do on a basketball court. What was he, maybe a better free throw shooter? There's nothing that Michael Jordan could do on a basketball court that you haven't seen. I'm not going to just speculate and say LeBron could do that too. You have seen it in the last 15 years. There's nothing that Michael Jordan ever did on a basketball court that you have not seen LeBron do in the last 15 years. He's just a bigger dude. Like, so what if you could take Michael Jordan and make him a bigger dude, have him guard centers and power forwards? Like let's go back to the 1998 NBA Finals, okay, and turn Michael Jordan or take Michael Jordan's game and make him Karl Malone's size. And people would be like, get the heck out of here. That's ridiculous. That's basically what they did. That's basically what God did with LeBron James. So I'm excited to see what he does in LA. I'm excited to see how Magic and Rob Pelinka and the Lakers staff maneuvers that roster around LeBron over the next 4 years. I hope the first year is not boring is not the right word, because it's not going to be boring with LeBron there, but I hope to see some moving and shaking on the roster before next summer when Kawhi Leonard is available. I don't think he's going to be traded. Hopefully by the time that this thing airs, he's not traded, because that would make me look real silly on the podcast debut, the 6102 podcast. And by the way, you can call in 657-383-0001. Call in 657-383-0001 or hit me up on Twitter at Brandon K. Scott. Yeah, man, I want to see what they do with these with the roster. I think that Lonzo Ball and LeBron James can actually coexist. I think that they can actually play together and play off of each other. LeBron can play with anybody. LeBron can play with absolutely anybody. It's going to really be up to Lonzo to decide what kind of complementary player he's going to be with LeBron James. How is he going to maximize that opportunity? And I think it takes a lot of pressure off of Lonzo as a number two pick and the son of LeVar. You know, he's had to deal with a lot of spotlight that I feel like wasn't really until this summer with all the diss tracks with him and Kyle Kuzma. I don't feel like Lonzo was really doing much on his own to get this much attention other than from his game, right? But his dad has been the one, I feel like, that's put the pressure on him, which is fine if you're going to live up to it, right? Pressure makes diamonds, yada, yada, yada. That's fine. But now I think it's really an opportunity for Lonzo to come into his own and, you know, just allow LeBron to be LeBron, and you figure out where you fit in from there. Learn from him. Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, Brandon Ingram. These cats, I don't know. I don't know who's going to stay and who's going to go. That's going to be for Magic and Rob Pelinka to decide who fits best. But I'm interested to see who they think is good or what they might have to give up to get somebody if they're going the trade route or if they stay pat, stay intact. I think I was saying not too long ago that I don't know if I would trade for Kawhi now. And you can easily look at this Paul George situation, which we have not touched on that, but you can easily look at the Paul George situation and think, okay, you don't want to risk it, man. You want to get this guy right now while he's still interested. You don't want to risk Kawhi going to another city, being traded to another city, and somehow falling in love with it and thinking that he likes it better than L.A. Maybe Paul George is just a peculiar individual in that way, where he got to Oklahoma City and was like, being from L.A., mind you, this is a Los Angeles kid who had stated rather clearly in his trade demands from Indiana that he wanted to go home and go to L.A. He wanted to play for the Lakers. I'm talking about a guy that went to Oklahoma City and decided he liked it. I let that sit for a while. I've never been to Oklahoma City, so I can't make too many judgments on that. For all I know, Oklahoma City could be lit. It could be lit for all I know. But for right now, I'm taking everybody else's word for it and just assuming. I've never been to Los Angeles either. And just assuming that the palm trees and the weather and the beaches, the nightlife, I'm assuming is all better in Los Angeles. So a shocker to see somebody with the opportunity to go to L.A. and not just go to L.A. and be his own guy, which I don't think Paul George, I think we saw that here with his decision that he made by staying in Oklahoma City. He wasn't going to have to be his own guy. They were always going to pair him with somebody else, whether he was going to be the 1A, or the clear Robin to LeBron. I think it was always clear that he was going to be another guy, not the guy. Okay, it wasn't going to be Indiana Paul George or Oklahoma City Russell Westbrook before he got there, before he and Carmelo got there. It wasn't going to be that. So I am surprised. And since we don't know Kawhi, no one knows this guy. This guy could start talking. He could call in 657-383-0001. Call into the show right now. Say he's Kawhi Leonard and be Kawhi Leonard. And I wouldn't know. I just, maybe. Frank call, maybe. So since we don't know this guy, we don't know what he's about, it's hard to say whether it's risky to not try to trade for him right now. Hard to say for sure. But I think that at this point, it's worth the risk. It's worth the risk of him just being miserable for another year or doing whatever he's got to do for the next year. And you can hit him up next year. See what the results are with LeBron. I feel like whether the Lakers have a good or bad season with LeBron, and they're going to the playoffs. Like they're not going to win the championship or anything. That would be a shocker, because Houston is still better, Golden State is still better, and even in the East, Boston is still better. I would like to say that Toronto's still better. Man, I just can't get with Toronto, right? Like, have we all just put Toronto off to the side or in purgatory or just like none of us believed in them, but now we just don't even want to waste our time on Toronto? The NBA TV All-Stars, as I hear that from Bomani Jones. I don't know if that's something that he came up with or not, but they are whoever deserves credit for calling them that. They are the NBA TV All-Star. They might even be better than the Lakers, though. They're not winning the championship. Oklahoma City is probably better than the Lakers, right? But they're going to be in the playoffs. They'll be a 5-6, somewhere between that 5-8 seed, right? Maybe even a 4, right? LeBron James is that type of player, has that type of impact on a squad. But they can use the results of whatever happens with the Lakers. The Lakers can use that and say, hey, Kawhi, success or fail. They can say, hey, Kawhi, look how successful we were without you. What do you think we would do with you or Kawhi? Things went terribly. LeBron needs another guy. We need another star. I think either one of those pitches could work, especially if my man already wants to go there. So, excited about that. Interested to see that. The league is more interesting and better when the Lakers are good. I think the Lakers are usually interesting, but when they're not good, it's non-basketball stuff that you got to find about the Lakers, the non-basketball storylines that got to do it for you. Lonzo and the Ball family. Before that, it was the drama with the Bus family, right? And somewhere in between there, you got the whole D'Angelo Russell and Nick Young thing, the whole Swaggy P cheating on Iggy Azalea thing. my man who went from getting snitched on to putting the ring on. You know, those are the headlines and the conversation pieces when they're not good on the court. So it'll be fun to, I guess, dissect them both on and off the court for the next at least 3 to 4 years while LeBron is there and carves out this chapter of his legacy. Now you're not gonna hear me do too much legacy talk on LeBron. His resume speaks for itself. I can't remember if it was Oscar Robertson or who it was who several years ago who was like, how are you going to talk about a guy's legacy while he's still playing? Like, you can speculate and you can have conversations, but you can't have a definitive take on a guy's legacy while he's still playing, or at least not in the twilight of his career. And even in year 15, 16, at 33, 34, LeBron has not shown any sign of slowing down or losing a step or anything like that. I don't think the legacy conversation on Kobe was appropriate until he tore that Achilles and did that press conference on crutches standing up. I think that was the first moment where I was like, okay, now let's start talking about where Kobe's at in the pantheon. Until LeBron, obviously don't wish any type of injury on LeBron or anything like that, but until LeBron starts to slow down in that kind of fashion, this is just a wait and see. This is just observe it, right? Yeah, I'm excited, man. I'm excited. I want to know what y'all think about Drake's Scorpion record. I'm not going to lie to you guys. I haven't listened to the whole thing. I haven't listened to the entire thing. I've probably made it about halfway through, listened to a good bit of it. But from following the social media conversation about Scorpion, I was a little surprised to see how much he addressed. And I don't know why I was surprised. I know how rap beefs work. I've been following this game for, the better part of 15 years or so. And I know obviously a good bit of the history. So I guess I shouldn't have been surprised that he addressed so many of the things that were brought up in the beef with Pusha T earlier toward the end of the spring before summer hit. But I was disappointed to hear that he dedicated so much time on the record to things that were addressed in the beef, but he didn't drop the other diss track. or the joker that he had in his hand. That's just really been my whole issue following the chatter on this. Is like he addresses these things that were brought up in the beef, but he didn't release the track that was supposed to be response to the smoker, the story of Adidon. I hope I'm saying the kid's name right. You are hiding a child. That's what Pusha T said in the song. It was really funny. My man comes back. I just think he would have been better off not to tell us that record exists. You know, my man comes back on this record and says he wasn't hiding his child from the world. He was hiding his world from the child, which we all agreed, or many of us agreed. I know at least my coworker Jeanette Kelly and a couple of other people had mentioned that. Look, the world from my child line was corny line. I saw that lyric on Twitter before I actually ever listened to the song. Corny, especially in context. However, I will say that Emotionless, the song that line comes on, is a pretty good track. Like, it's a jam. So, but of course, it's Drake, who says a lot of corny stuff, but makes it sound really good. Therefore, making a lot of us who don't fancy ourselves on being corny very uncomfortable. Because A, we don't want to be corny, but B, he's jamming. He's jamming. So there is our dilemma. But yeah, that was my main issue with him addressing all of this, is because, look, man, I'm not going to say that the record doesn't exist, the response diss track. I'm not going to say that it doesn't exist because Jay Prince told us that it does exist, and I ain't in the business of calling Jay Prince a liar or slandering this man's name in any kind of way. Especially having just moved back to Houston. But, I'm not here for that. But, you know, I just thought it was kind of weak to dedicate so much of the record to the beef without releasing the joker that y'all said exists. Like, either let it go or don't. Do it or don't. That's all I'm saying. All I'm saying. But the few records that I've heard, or the half of the album that I've heard, is pretty good. It's pretty good. It's a smoker. I enjoyed it. And look forward to listening to the rest of it, honestly. It's not his best work by any means, but I mean, it's Drake, man. The guy makes hits. That's why he is who he is. Look, man, we only got about a minute and a half left in the show. I got to get used to budgeting the time a little bit better when we do these, but so I'm not going to get to everything that I had, that I actually had teased in the description or that I had intended to. But, man, and maybe we can talk about this a little bit more as the Trayvon Martin documentary comes closer. Maybe I can review it or something like that. But, man, I'm really just not here for it. I watched the trailer. It seems interesting. It seems interesting. That's really a horrible way to describe a documentary on Trayvon Martin. So I apologize for that. Like, obviously it is important and means a lot to just our generation. Not just black people, but all of us Americans. Should all know the Trayvon Martin story and all of the details that go with it. But man, we lived through that tragedy. We lived through that tragedy already. I mentioned Janae earlier, and my partner Galen. We were on Twitter saying, look, man, we don't have to do this again. So we hope it's great, but we're not really trying to do it again. We lived through it. Hey, man, this has been the 6102 Podcast. I appreciate y'all for coming back. Brandon Scott signing out.